everyone. Welcome to the Royals Rundown. I'm your host, Jacob Milham. We have a lot to talk about today. The first day post-World Baseball Classic. That is what the sports world is abuzz about. And to be honest, it does kind of make spring training games a little bit gloomier or a little less exciting, knowing that the World Baseball Classic is over. But the Royals are still marching towards opening day. We have a ton of transactions from today. We have a ton of analysis with a great crew today. But before we get to the show, please go follow Royals Review on Twitter and on Facebook. That is a great way you can support us. And of course, check out all the great work on RoyalsReview.com. You can find more great work on there by both my guests today. First, I got Jeremy Greco with me tonight, as always. Jeremy, how you doing tonight?
I would like to say that I am somewhere between Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. That range somewhere.
I think that's a very wide range of emotions right there. Maybe our other guest can extrapolate on that a little bit more. The Royals Review editor himself, Max Reaper. Max, how you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great because I learned this week that a sayonara game in Japan is a walk-off hit. That's just perfect. So, I heard when they had their walk-off win in the semis over Mexico, the announcers kept saying, sayonara, sayonara, which means a walk-off. It means goodbye, too, but that's what they refer to as a walk-off. And I think that's awesome. So, yeah, I'm doing great.
That is really cool. I will say this. So MLB, the show, is incorporating the World Baseball Classic into this year's iteration of the game, and they were popping up with some of the terminology from other countries and their language. And of course, the one that they pick for America is dingers. Like that's the most eloquent word that we can think of to describe American baseball, which, you know, it's a, I'll take it over dong, I guess. Whenever Lesky or anyone pops up on my feed saying, oh, well, there's another trip to Dong Town, or he's the mayor of Dongville. I do cringe a little bit. I always read it in that voice too. Jeremy, I see you smirking over there. Should I stop saying dong?
I was just remembering when I was a kid, the baseball video games that I grew up with, and the term that has stuck with me my entire life is one of the games I played. I think it was a Ken Griffey game. If you hit the grand slam, the announcer would go, "Oh my, that's gone! It's a grand salami."
Yeah, I'm glad I haven't heard that on an actual call. Hey, Max, real fast, were you watching the game last night?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. It was a tense, exciting match.
How bad is John Smoltz in the booth? It's so bad. I don't know what it is though.
The thing is too is he's got nuggets where he's like when he teaches about pitching, like he's great. I learn a lot from him about pitching, but man, to just kind of like piss over like cool moments and like, you know, he's a bit of a downer in the booth at times, and you contrast it with like, I don't know, you know, watch a football game, and I don't think they're like bashing like, oh, they didn't do this, defense was not like this in the 80s, like come on, man. I concur. I would rather not have John Smoltz in the booth.
Yeah, I'm Jeremy, have you heard him announce at all?
Just a tiny bit. I concur with Max. Like, if he's talking about pitching, like he knows a lot about pitching, and you can learn a lot from him. So maybe he should have something more like Monty's job, where he just shows up for half inning, talks about the pitches that are being thrown, and then leaves.
Yeah, I think he would be a good like third or fourth guy on the broadcast, not the secondary option. But hey, that's just me. Maybe he's gonna improve his craft a little bit. Speaking of improving my craft, I need to actually get us on track for the episode today. There are some little news nuggets. You can see them on RoyalsReview.com whenever breaking news happens. So please go check out the website when you can. First, gonna gloss over this real fast. Apple TV Plus did announce their Friday night baseball schedule. Very much looking forward to that. I have enjoyed the Apple TV broadcasts for baseball. They started it last year, and they're expanding this year. They released a press release today that has their schedule through June 30th, and the Royals are on there twice, the May 12th game in Milwaukee and the June 9th game in Baltimore, which I hope to be at, against the Orioles. Jeremy, I know for longtime Royals fans, we haven't gotten a whole lot of national attention. There hasn't been, you know, outside of 14 and 15, there really hasn't been a reason to be. But do you think that any national broadcasting opportunity for the Royals is a good thing, or could this be embarrassing for the Royals?
I was prepared to just jump in and be like, oh, two national two games. The Royals are going to be good this year. Obviously, the script has been written and Apple TV got it.
Yes.
It's cool sometimes to have national games. The frustrating thing about the Apple Plus TV games is that you have to have that subscription.
Yeah.
And so that's an extra cost unless you already have Apple TV, which I do because Ted Lasso is just that important to me.
It is. It really is.
But yeah, that's the big downside is the local broadcast. You know, you get your local guys, and with Steve Fizziak out, there's no downside really there anymore, I don't think. And with the national broadcast, you get guys you don't necessarily know what they're talking about when it comes to your hometown team, which can be frustrating. And then the cost of the subscription is just a lot. Like if they were doing it where it was on there and it was like, hey, you know, check out our service, we'll give you ads for Ted Lasso and then you'll want to pay, that would be one thing. But forcing you to pay ahead of time is just like, come on, guys.
That's fair. Max, do you have any opinions on the glaring national spotlight that is two Apple TV Plus games in half a season?
Well, it's just great that they're going to feature the rival, the you know, heated rivalry of the Royals versus Orioles. You know, that rivalry that dates back, you know, several years. And, you know, they'll be on the national stage. No, it's you know, I kind of like the Apple deal because it's a nice little platform. I don't know, you guys are probably too young to remember when there used to be a thing called Monday Night Baseball on ABC, kind of like Monday Night Football.
Yep.
And it was like your game of the week. And, you know, ESPN has Sunday Night Baseball, their game of the week. So I think it's kind of nice to have that kind of spotlight. I will say the Apple broadcast last year was pretty rough. It was kind of trying too hard to be hip and young to the, you know, the youngsters who watch the Twitch.
Did they have the slime for the home runs?
That would have been better. I would have appreciated that. Oh my gosh,
no.
It was a cluttered screen though. And they, you know, and I like Katie Nolan, but she was kind of a poor fit for the broadcast. So they kind of changed it into a more traditional broadcast this year. We'll see if it works out okay. But it'll be nice to see the Royals on a national platform at least. A little bit harder to find. And these games won't be on Bally Sports Kansas City. So you will have to get Apple if you want to watch them at all. Which is an added expense, as Jeremy mentioned. So it is a little bit annoying to have to search out different platforms for the games. But I do like that they're on a national stage, even if it's, you know, kind of random games against the Brewers and Orioles.
It is. You know what? Royals, we're beggars. We can't be choosers on this. So we'll take it where we can. You can read the whole breakdown by Mr. Max himself on RoyalsReview.com. So please go check that out. But the big transaction for today, the Royals announced that they optioned three players to AAA Omaha, and three of whom I feel like all had their own cases for making the opening day roster, but none of them are. So let's go ahead and run it down. So first, catcher Freddie Fermin, first baseman Nick Prado, and infielder Michael Garcia. I do just want to say the Royals said that he was an infielder, not a shortstop, not a center fielder, an infielder. Yes, Jeremy, you can roll your eyes all you want at me. All of them had their good points, their bad points of spring training. You know, that's just how it is to start the season. But Max, who was the most surprising player option down in your opinion?
To me, I think it was Freddie Fermin. I think I had him penciled in the opening day roster because they said they want to carry three catchers, allow Salvi to DH, Melendez play outfield a little bit more. And Fermin, you know, he's rolling right now. He had a solid season at AAA. He He won MVP honors in the Venezuelan League Winter League last year, and he was having a pretty good spring. He's gotten some good reviews on his defense, and so I thought, okay, he can be a guy that they can, you know, have in that third catcher spot. He's not particularly young, so I don't think he's a guy that you need to get regular at bats necessarily. Like, his upside isn't super high, but I think he can be a competent backup. So I was a little surprised I sent him out. I don't know what their plan is going to be for third catcher now. They still have Jackson Reitz and Logan Porter, non-roster invitees in camp. And I think Jose Briseño, probably not a guy many people know or have talked about, I think maybe he's got like an outside chance now to make the team. He's a guy that has some major league experience. He's mostly just a catch, you know, a throw and catch guy. He's not going to do much with the bat, but they don't need much of the bat out of catcher. So, I expect him to be scouring the waiver wire, maybe poking around with other teams. Hey, is your third catcher available? It's a veteran guy. But I was a little surprised by Fermín not making the team.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Max. Jeremy, on the flip side of that, who were you not surprised to see get optioned down?
So when I wrote my roster preview a couple weeks ago, I actually had Fermín and Garcia making the roster. Nick Prado, I didn't see a spot for him. There's no reason to rush him right now. He's not had a great spring, and they've got Vinny Pasquantino can play first base perfectly adequately. Hunter Dozier could back him up. They might be wanting to start moving Salvi over there. We've been saying this for years. They might want to start moving Salvi over there anytime now. So the first base is covered. And Nick Prado was basically going to have to force their hand if he was going to make the opening day roster. I do think all three of them are probably going to see the big leagues at some point this year. But Nick Prado, I kind of assumed was going down the entire spring.
Okay. All right. I will say, my first thought when I saw that Nick Prado was going down for some reason, and I was like, oh man, Jackie Bradley Jr. is making this opening day roster, isn't he? He's going to be like the fourth outfielder type until Drew Waters comes back, which I don't know if it's a bad thing. He hasn't had a terrible spring, but, I'll go ahead and hop on Garcia because there was so much hype around him, like, hey, this guy's going to take the third base job, or hey, this guy's going to be depth for center field, or like, and I think maybe that was fans just getting a little too excited about a promising prospect. I remember, what was it? It was like before the 2021 season where fans were calling for Bobby Witt Jr. to, you know, make his major league debut on the opening day roster. So sometimes we can just get a little ahead of ourselves. Let's pump the brakes. At least I can see a plan with all three of those players going to Omaha, because they all went there to get at-bats every day to actually get better. Max, do you disagree with that at all?
No, I thought, you know, I think last time we talked, you know, I thought Prado maybe was playing his way into a potential roster spot. And I think the last week of games, he seems like he's struggling a little bit. He led the team in strikeouts in spring training. Not that I put a whole lot of stock in spring training, but I think he probably needed to cut down the strikeout rate a little bit to impress the brass. And going back to Omaha for a little more seasoning probably isn't the worst idea in the world. I think you're right. I think you'll see him back up before too long. Interesting that he played some right field in spring training. I don't know if that's, you know, something they're keeping an eye on, you know, keeping Vinny at first and Nick in right, you know, on occasion, you know, something when they're both in the big leagues. And then Garcia, I thought he was going to get sent to the minors. You know, he only spent like 40 games at AAA last year. And I think the Royals want to see if that power surge he had last year is for real. Interesting that they moved him around to different positions to maybe look at his versatility too. And then maybe, you know, I think I've seen some evaluators say, yeah, he's probably a utility guy in the future anyway. So that could help him, you know, land a roster spot down the road. But I think it's great to get him some at-bats right now on a regular basis at shortstop, because I still think he's kind of the break glass in case Bobby Witt Jr. can't play shortstop, emergency guy. It was kind of the fallback option. So we'll see both these guys up before very long. So I'm not too worried about them not making the opening day roster. Remember, the opening day roster, things will be fluid all year. There's always guys that make the team, and then like 3 days later, they get sent down.
Yeah, and you know, maybe we're overvaluing the opening day roster spot a little bit too much, but it is kind of, you know, we're all just excited to get quote unquote real baseball again. I think that was one reason why people latched onto the World Baseball Classic, which we will be talking about later on. I think that's why they latched onto it so much, because it felt competitive and it felt like it mattered again. Jeremy, on those three players that were optioned down, do you have any closing thoughts?
Nope. Nope. I think we've said everything
that needs to be said. Listen, we have. If there are any dead horses in this conversation, we have beaten them. All right, we're going to take a quick ad break, but on the other side, we're going to talk about the World Baseball Classic and some other minor league baseball transactions that you don't want to miss. Stay tuned. And we are back on the Royals Rundown here with Max Reaper and Jeremy Greco. Listen, Jeremy, I saw you laughing when I talked about these minor league baseball transactions that folks don't want to miss. But once you hear the last name, folks are going to care, because
you're not wrong.
People have said this name for years and called for it to be gone from Kansas City. And now it finally is, in the year of our Lord 2023. MILB transactions, the trusted source for all of your transactional news on Twitter, released a 6-player list of released Royals minor league players. Right-handed pitcher Patrick Halligan, I don't know. I do apologize, Patrick. Surprisingly, right-handed pitcher Zach Hockey is gone. And here's the big headline. Right-handed pitcher CJ Eldred is gone. The Eldred family is out of Kansas City and its minor league system now. Right-handed pitcher Charlie Neuweiler, Matt Sill, and lefty Jack Aldrich are all gone from Kansas City as well. Guys, I ain't gonna lie to you. I didn't know CJ Eldred was in the system at all. Like, is this, was any good? Am I smelling some nepotism? Like, how should I take this? I don't know. Max, start us off.
Yeah, he was an undrafted free agent out of Iowa, at University of Iowa. And it's hard not to see some nepotism. I mean, he posted ERAs of like 6 and 5, his first two professional seasons. It never really got any better. So, and he was 27 years old. So yeah, that's not a guy that a lot of teams are going to keep. So good for him. He got to pitch in the minors a couple seasons. I'm sure he's a lot better than I am. But he wasn't a guy that was going to be anything. You know, Charlie Neuweiler is a guy that I think I was kind of high on. I think Sean Newkirk, when he rode here, was pretty high on him too. A high school draftee that just, I think, never really panned out. Hockey is a guy that I think had a really big fastball, but always seemed to have injury problems. And you kind of wonder, in an alternate universe, maybe he stays healthy and puts it all together and is a decent reliever. But, you know, these guys, it's so hard to make it to the big leagues, and so many things can kind of derail your career. Sad. I feel bad for these guys. On maybe a different note, Anderson Miller, longtime Royals, a minor league outfielder. Yep. He got signed by the Dodgers this week. Guy, I think he had considered hanging him up at one point last year, but persevered, and it looks like he's going to at least be in an organization this year. So good for him.
Yeah, he had a great story. He detailed his recent struggles in baseball on his Twitter feed, so that was very good to read over and get a little bit more insight. But Max, don't derail us with the good news stories here. Okay, we're celebrating someone's demise. Okay, goodness. Jeremy, are you gonna make me some celebration spaghetti and meatballs for the fact that the Eldreds are gone from Kansas City?
I just can't bring myself to blame the son for the sins of the father. He was probably looking to Cal too, like, hey dad, like, you're a major league pitching coach, help me get better. And it obviously didn't happen. It's just a bummer for sure. It is the end of a dream for some of these guys, at least. And what can you say? It's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. We all have to, not all of us, but I think most of us who are baseball fans eventually have to realize that that dream of becoming a major league baseball player is not going to work out for us. I know I had to go through that realization at one point. But the closer you get, I think the harder it gets to deal with it. 'Cause you know, when I'm 26 years old and not even played baseball in a decade, well, it's pretty easy for me to accept that I'm not going to be a major league baseball player. But these guys, you know, they made it to the minor leagues. They were playing professionally for a little bit. So it's like, oh, so close and yet so far away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all jokes aside, I do hope that those players, you know, if they feel like they have something left and they want to keep pursuing it, I hope that they do. And I hope that they get a fair shake and a fair opportunity elsewhere. So we will hope for the best for them, and we'll keep you updated if any of them land anywhere. Thank you for that tidbit about Miller, Max. I did fail to bring that up, but let's get back on the up and up. Let's talk about this World Baseball Classic final last night. That was an absolutely dream scenario to cap off an amazing event. Like I would say I would compare it to the FIFA World Cup of baseball, but the WBC is a little bit smaller and America's actually good in it, so it's not really like FIFA. But Jeremy, I do want to get your thoughts, you know, now that it's done, or are you going to miss it? What did you think of the final game? Let us know.
I struggle to watch sports when the team that I have associated with isn't playing. So I didn't watch much of the World Baseball Classic. I watched a little bit.
Jeremy, Team USA is your team.
Are they though? Are they? Team Italy is really more my team. Honestly, I got that Italian heritage, and you know, the Italians they're looking for anybody that's got that. That'll play.
Apparently so.
Anyone that's had spaghetti before.
So, you know, but the game last night, Japan versus the USA, I don't think you could ask for a better championship matchup. Those are the two heavyweights in baseball. And then, of course, the final at bat is Shohei Ohtani versus Mike Trout, two of the best guys to ever play the game. Certainly two of the best playing it right now. So that's a terrific matchup. And I did watch that at bat, and Ohtani was just unleashing those fastballs him. And I saw this tweet that really kind of summarized it for me, made me laugh a little bit. Once again, Mike Trout's teammates have prevented him from reaching the championship.
That's terrible. Max, what do you think about the World Baseball Classic now that it's over?
I think it was a blast this year. I to be honest, I'd watched it in past years, but it hadn't really captured my attention the way it did this year. And I think that there was just a whole different level of energy of you know, excitement to games. They drew record crowds. They had their highest ratings globally, and I think they did well here in the United States as well. So yeah, and as Jeremy said, yeah, it was about the most, you know, picture book ending you could have had, other than maybe the United States winning. I think, you know, I'm sure MLB would have wanted that ending instead, but to have Ohtani versus Trout, and we all, you know, we've always, you know, criticized baseball for not promoting its stars. And that was like the biggest platform they could give for two of their best players, like Jeremy says, in the world. And so, yeah, that was a great, I think, showcase for baseball. And not just that game too, but just throughout the entire tournament, having Randy Arozarena making, you know, amazing catches in the outfield, having that Nicaraguan pitcher strike out three guys and get a contract before the end of the game, having a Czechoslovakian electrician strike out Shohei Ohtani. I mean, it was so many great stories from the tournament. So I'm really glad that it was a success this year, and it will continue on in future years. I did want to ask, I know there's a little bit of a conversation on our site, and I heard a little bit on the radio with David Leskey was talking to Soren Petro in town, questioning whether the Royals maybe regret allowing Bobby Witt Jr. And Brady Singer to participate, since they didn't really play much. cost them some valuable time to get ready for the season. I don't know. What do you guys think about? Was it still valuable enough to have Bobby Witt Jr. and Brady Singer on the Team USA?
I think it was valuable. Like if you actually listen to some of the interviews that were done with Bobby Witt Jr. on like during his time with Team USA, he's getting glowing reviews from his manager, from Nolan Arenado, from his other high profile teammates. And at the end of the day, that is the quote unquote franchise savior in Kansas City. And he's sitting with multiple MVPs, you know, some of the best in the game, and he's at least there. And honestly, he didn't perform too bad in the opportunities that he got. So if he was bad when he was actually on the diamond, I would be concerned. But I think there's a lot of positives outside of the stat line that can be taken from this. Brady Singer, I haven't heard a whole lot from him on his experience at the World Baseball Classic. So I'm not as sold on it. But at the end of the day, I think he should have gotten a shot in the final. Other than this Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher that no one's ever heard of opening up the game. But that's just me. Jeremy, what do you think?
I think the World Baseball Classic is important for the health of the sport, nationally, globally as well as nationally. And I don't want to get into a position where you're nitpicking about which players you're allowing to go play out there. It might not be great for the Royals, but it's good for baseball as a whole. And what's good for baseball as a whole is ultimately good for the Royals. So I think, you know, whoever they want is who they should get as much as possible. It's interesting to me because I really feel like Royals don't have a lot of room to complain because Bobby Witt Jr. and Brady Singer both came back 100% healthy. Not every team had that same experience with their guys who went out there for the World Baseball Classic. And for a lot of people, that's a much greater concern. But I would even still maintain my argument in the face of the injuries, say, that the Mets faced, though. So.
Yeah, I fully agree there, Jeremy. That is definitely another positive outlook on it. You know, both of them, they might not have played much, but that's a lot less chance of injury, especially serious injury like Edwin Diaz suffered, unfortunately. Which, man, I saw so many jokes about trumpets and like trumpet fans mourned everywhere. Because Jeremy, don't you remember Edwin Diaz has that famous his walkout music?
When he relieves, Timmy Trumpet.
Do 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 do. Yeah. Come on, man. Get
all
with the
closers
times.
Can adopt that as their walkout music in tribute to Edwin Diaz for the season. It'll be fine.
How very thoughtful of you, Jeremy. How very thoughtful. Speaking of thoughts, it is time for Royals reviews. Jeremy, go and start us off, man.
All right. So I just started recently playing Persona 5 Royal, and I played Persona 5 twice through already. So I was not super sure what I was getting into here. I knew that there were some stuff that had been added to it, and some other stuff that had been changed, but I was a little concerned that I was going to get in there and be like, man, I really already know this story. I already know this game. But there's actually quite a bit of different stuff in there. They've updated some things, made some things better. They've added even to the conversations that were in the original game. They've added dialogue. They've added other new cutscenes. They've added a traversal, like a little like zip line thing that you can use in the dungeons, so you can move around in a different way, which is pretty cool. So it's really, even though there's a lot that's familiar, there's a lot that's different. And I've really been enjoying myself. So if you are out there and you're a Persona 5 fan and you've been going, Persona 5 Royal, it's the same thing over again. I haven't even got to the big changes yet, which I know are there. So I will recommend that you go ahead and give it a shot.
Heck yeah, heck yeah. Max, what do you got for us tonight on a review?
So I'm not a big video game guy other than like Madden and MLB The Show, but my son kind of got me into The Walking Dead video game.
Okay.
And we'd been watching The Last of Us, which is, I guess, pretty similar content. We've been watching The Last of Us on HBO. And so there's a lot of parallels with The Walking Dead. But yeah, it's an incredible game. It's an, like, and I'm more into stories. I'm not, I don't want to shoot them up. And this isn't really a shoot them up much at all. But yeah, it's just the level of complexity and the moral choices you have to make. I was kind of opening my eyes about what video games can be. And it's definitely a medium that should be on par with, you know, movies and books and TV when done right. And certainly that's one of the ones that I think has done really well. So I would, it's been out for a while too. So I know what, there's three parts now.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of different parts.
Game.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. So yeah, I'd recommend The Walking Dead, even if you're not a big video game guy or girl. It's definitely an interesting story to kind of go through.
Yeah, I can vouch for all the Telltale games. I haven't played a bad one yet, and there's a wide range of stories you can go through there. My quick review for this evening is a website called Pine Sports. Now, the reason why I'm reviewing it is because it is an AI-based betting assistant, if you will. So I've been going through, I've been building models on, you know, to improve my NBA and my MLB betting skills. And I will say, I have seen an immediate return on investment. You can create your own graphics, you can create your own betting models, like I said, or you could just follow other people's advice on the site. Again, that is Pine Sports. I would highly suggest it if you are on the legal side of sports betting. Do keep that in mind. I know Missouri is getting close, but not quite there yet. Alrighty, guys. Well, hey, thank you both so much for joining me this evening. I feel like it was a great conversation on Kansas City Royals baseball and on the World Baseball Classic. And I think we buried John Smoltz enough to, I think he's gonna knock on my door here in about 30 minutes. I don't know. Before the episode's even published. But yeah, Max, Jeremy, thank you both so much for joining me tonight. And for everyone out there still listening, thank you for your support and listening. And until next time, go Royals!